How good are you at taking advice? How do you respond when someone helpfully shares their wisdom or tells you what you should do? Sometimes, if we're honest, it can be difficult to take people's advice, can't it? I have to confess there are times when I find it difficult to take my wife's advice, particularly when I know she's right. I find it particularly difficult when I'm driving and she tells me that she thinks we've taken a wrong turn or that I should change gear. I find it difficult when she talks to me about my lack of time management or questions my cooking ability. And perhaps especially when she looks at my DIY with her kind of bulldog chewing a wasp face and shares some helpful hints, often suggesting that I should perhaps start again or simply ask Torsten to come over. I also found it hard to take advice when I was younger, to listen to my parents when they told me that it was really dangerous to play football in front of the French windows, which it was. And that when it was sunny, being a fair skin, I should always put sun cream on, and that I shouldn't leave my revision to the last minute. But we struggle to take advice when we're young, don't we? I think that's probably true for all of us. But often, it is the critical time to take advice, to listen to wisdom, when our lives stretch out before us, and when we still have an opportunity to make wise choices and shape our futures in the right way. This morning, we've heard and seen very clearly the choice that Ewan has made, one that will shape his future, one that will direct his big decisions that he'll make over coming years, a choice that is outlined in the part of the Bible that Rod read to us a few minutes ago. And those verses in Ecclesiastes are very much aimed at young people, but they have something to say to each one of us here, no matter how old we may be, whether we are 8 or 80. Ecclesiastes was written by a man called Solomon, a man who was famous for having God-given wisdom. And as he wrote those words in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he writes them as an old man looking back over his life. And out of all the experience and wisdom that he's gained, what is his big piece of advice to young people? Is it get a good education? Is it surround yourself with good friends? Is it take a gap year and travel the world? No, it is much more fundamental than that. He writes this in verse 1. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old. And the message is that when it comes to our very brief lives, Solomon's advice is this: don't make the big mistake of living it without God. Don't take God out of the equation. I guess that over the years, Solomon had seen the effects of people making that mistake. He'd seen the wrong turns that people had taken and the damaging choices that they'd made by cutting God out of the picture. But on the other side, he'd also seen all the good things that they'd missed out on by making that mistake, that they'd missed out on knowing true security and wholeness and meaning and purpose and peace in life, things that they'd never really found because they'd shut God out of their lives. They'd look for those things in the wrong places, perhaps in money or career or popularity. Because you see, by definition, if you look in the wrong places, you'll never really find what you're looking for. And Solomon is also signposting how unwise it is to live without God. And he's doing that by tapping into something that we're all aware of. And that is that God is real, that God is there, and that we live our lives under his gaze. We may try and push that awareness away. We may try and bury it in the back of our minds, but we get regular reminders of that reality. We're reminded of it when we see an incredible sunset or an amazing mountain range or even the changing seasons, or when we see again just how incredibly our bodies are constructed. And as we take those things in and as we look at them, we're reminded again that none of those things could just have happened or come about by chance, like lucky pieces of a jigsaw that just happened to be kind of randomly thrown together in the right way, but that they had to be designed and planned and made by a creator. We're also reminded of our creator by our consciences, that little voice we all have inside us that tells us immediately when we've done something wrong. And that voice is important. It's a voice that tells us that this world isn't a moral vacuum, that this isn't a world with no moral values, but there is such a thing as right and wrong, and that right and wrong matter to God. We're also reminded of our Creator when we face a crisis, because when we find ourselves in a crisis, who do we turn to, even if we never speak to Him at any other time? We turn to our Creator, don't we? We turn to God. And we do that because we know He's real. And we do that because we know He's there. And we do that because we know He's listening. Very interesting, it's what Coldplay have pointed to in their latest single called We Pray, which includes the line, "And so we pray for someone to come and show me the way." See, deep down, we know that God is there. But let me say this too, that so often that the picture of God that we often have in our minds is wrong. In fact, often a bit like that latest statue of the Queen. Have you seen that? The picture of God is a bit like that that we sometimes have in our minds. It bears little resemblance to reality. I mean, who is that woman? And many of us live with this wrong idea of God. We can get wrong ideas as we go through life. We can think that He is against us, not for us, that He's like a teacher at school who we don't really get on with, who always has a bit of a downer on it and marks us down. Or we can see God as someone who wants to restrict us, to ruin our fun with His rules, when actually the portrait of God that we see in the Bible is so very different. You see, when you actually look into the Bible and read what the Bible says about God, it shows us a God who is very different to that wrong picture, a God who doesn't give up on us when we fail, but who forgives and welcomes anyone who turns to Him, no matter what kind of track record we may have. That He's a God who loves and values each one of us as individuals, and He is a God who cares for every single detail of our lives, and who cares for us so much that He does make rules, and He does set limits, not to ruin our lives, but because He is a loving Father who wants to safeguard us from damage and hurt, and enable us to get the very best out of life. And of course, as our Creator, He does know what's best for us. He made us. He knows how we tick. He knows what will bring us true peace and true happiness and true wholeness as human beings. And Solomon's warning, kind of between the lines here, is that those are the things that we will miss out on if we choose to live without God. But linked to that, there is another reason why Solomon urges us to remember our Creator and to do so when we are young. It is all about opportunity. You see, when you're young, you have more life about you, don't you? I was hearing that Ewan had cycled from here to Harwich the other day. That seems madness to me now, but it was something that he felt able to do. And when you're young, you don't need Starbucks or Costa Coffee to kind of jumpstart you in the morning, do you? You have more energy, more vitality. If you don't believe me, just look around you, especially at parents with young children. But more than that, when we're young, our minds are fresh and uncluttered. We find that we're more willing to take on new ideas and new concepts. We're more open to new thinking and letting them come into our lives and influence us. Let me give you an example. You see, this week, I received an email letting me know that the new Apple iPhone 16 was available. Now, for younger people, that might have been exciting. Perhaps they'd want to go out and get it as soon as possible, to use it quickly, to master all of its functionality, to use its apps and its superior camera. But when I received the email, I just deleted it. Because I'm thinking, I didn't even know there's an iPhone 15, let alone 16. And anyway, what is wrong with my really old phone? I'm not bothered by a new iPhone. I'm not open to it. I'm not interested in learning all that new stuff. After all, I still text with just one finger. And despite all my family's attempts, I'm not up for changing. We become less willing to change as we get older. And why is that? Well, because as we get older, we can find that our minds become less open and more closed. We find that we're less willing to look at things in a fresh light. We're less open to changing our point of view, particularly perhaps when it comes to God and spiritual things. So that if we've made a decision to keep God out of our lives in the past, if we've closed the door on God as we get older, the risk is that we become less and less likely to ever open that door again. We become less likely to rethink our position until it's too late. Sometimes, though, the reason God gets pushed out of our lives isn't because our attitudes harden. It's simply that life kind of crowds in. Things like responsibility and career and family and financial pressure and sometimes, sadly, illness. I mean that over time, certain things get put on hold. We can fall into the trap of thinking, well, I'll get to those things later. But of course, we rarely do. That reality is very poignantly captured by the opening scenes of the film Up by Pixar. I don't know if you've seen it. It's very moving, actually. They show a young couple falling in love, getting married, with great dreams to travel the world and to go and see this one special exotic place. But gradually what happens is that life takes over. The dreams are pushed to one side. The travel brochures keep going to the bottom of the pile until illness finally takes away the opportunity altogether. And of course, without getting too depressing, as life goes on, age also takes its toll, doesn't it? And that's the point that Solomon makes in verse 3. Just have a look. He says, "Remember him, that's God, before your legs start to tremble and before your shoulders stoop. Remember him before your teeth stop grinding and before your eyes see dimly." It's a pretty good summary of me now at 56. But it isn't a great outlook, is it? The fact is our bodies gradually wear out, and with that too, our faculties start to diminish. You know, one of my favourite ever birthday cards is one showing two old golfers who've just hit their shots, and one says to the other, "My eyes are bad, did you see where my ball went?" And the other one says, "Yes, but I can't remember." And that is the reality of old age, isn't it? Which is why Solomon's message here is, don't put off thinking about spiritual things until you're older, when it may simply be too late. Because old age may rob you of your ability and your opportunity to think these things through. So think them through like Ewan when you're young. While there's still time, while all your faculties are still intact. Because when you do, then you can do something about it before it's too late. And that is what Ewan has done. You see, he has taken Solomon's advice. He's faced up to the very stark realities that Solomon spells out in verses 6 and 7, where he writes these words. "Yes, remember your Creator now while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps and the golden bowl is broken." That is, before your life comes to an end. "For then the dust will return to the earth, and the spirit will return to the God who gave it." In other words, remember your Creator and turn back to him while you have the opportunity. Because we live on borrowed time. You see, God rents out our lives to us for a lifetime, however long that will be. But then, in the end, he takes them back. And at that point, each one of us will meet our Creator. We will have the ultimate one-to-one with him. And when we meet God, the big issue will be, how did you respond to your Creator? Did you choose to forget him in this life with all the eternal consequences that will bring in the next life? Or, like Ewan, Did you remember him? Did you recognize who your Creator was? And did you respond to him as you should by opening the door of your heart to him and then building your life around him? And let me just underline something here. It's really important. And it's right that it comes with a fanfare. Let me underline, God longs for us to open our lives to him. God longs for us to open our lives to him. He longs for us to know the real relationship with him that he offers. He longs for us to discover the wholeness, peace, and security in life and death that each one of us is actually looking for, but only he can give. And that is why, out of love, he's given us those regular reminders that he's real, that he's there, that he cares, through creation, through our conscience, and through the cross. In another part of the Bible, we read these words, God has done all this so that we will look for him and reach out and find him. He isn't far from any of us. And you see, that is what God wants for each one of us, that we will reach out and find him because he loves us with an amazing love. A love that he proved by giving you life. A love that he's proved by bringing you to this point. A love that he proved ultimately by sending his one and only son to die on a cross, which is what makes a relationship with him possible. There is a very poignant phrase that's used in medical circles that says these words. End-of-life decisions should not be made at the end of life. You know, in a way, that echoes what Solomon is saying here in Ecclesiastes 12, that we should turn to God as soon as we can, that we should turn to God while we have the opportunity, and that the best time to do that is when you're young, so that you will know God's friendship, love, and his guidance throughout your life, knowing God as your key influencer, leading to you to make wise decisions and right choices. And how do we remember our Creator? How do we turn back to God? Well, very simply, by following Ewan's example. By seeing that we need to be right with God, that we need to be ready to meet our Maker. By asking his Son into our lives to forgive us for all that's wrong there. And asking him to reconnect us with God. And then to live in a way that recognizes God as our Creator. And also as the Father who loves us with an amazing love, living with him at the center of our lives and building our lives around him. You see, the key to remembering God in this way is having a real relationship with him. And that is what Jesus Christ makes possible. And so as I close, you see, in Ewan, what we have is a very wise young man before us today. Ewan, you may never have been called that before. But you see that it's true. And he is a wise young man because he has taken on board Solomon's advice and he's made the right choice. And also by announcing his faith in baptism this morning, Ewan has also done something for us. He has given us another opportunity to hear God's voice, another opportunity to remember our Creator, and another opportunity to respond as God calls us to. In fact, I want to go deeper than that. And I want to say for each one of us, it is no accident that you're here this morning. God is speaking to you now. He's calling you to remember him. He's calling you to return to him. And he's calling you no matter how old we may be. You see, you may not class yourself as young anymore, and many of you would be absolutely right about that. But if you're understanding what Solomon is saying here, then God is speaking and giving you an opportunity to discover the relationship with him that you need, to discover the goodness of the life he promises now in this life, and the eternal joy and peace and security he promises in the life to come, if we turn back to him. And finally, I just want to say something specifically to Ewan. Ewan, I want to give you some advice, if that's okay. And even though I'm not speaking as a young man, but from a place called Over the Hill, I do hope you'll take it on board. And it is very simply this, that as your life unfolds, that you will keep remembering your Creator. Not only when you're young, but also as you get older. Because He is the greatest friend you'll ever have. He is the one who will always love you. He is the one who will never fail you, even when you fail Him, as we all do as Christians. And like Solomon, I want to encourage you to make God the very foundation of your life, to build your life around Him and allow Him to shape your big decisions and your significant choices and to map out the way that you should go. Because to echo the Bible verse in your testimony, He knows His good plan for your life, and you can put your trust in it completely. Well, we're going to sing our final song now.